Good morning, Dr. Ballard.
Morning, Maddie. How are you this morning?
I'm good, thank you. It's wonderful to have you here on the show this morning. So just to set the scene, how did dingoes end up on our shores all those thousands of years ago?
Well, that's a tricky question. So we believe that at some stage in the past, dingoes arrived probably at least at some point on a boat with humans. There's a body of water called Wallace's Line, so that it's very likely that the dingoes travelled with a human, whether they were domesticated or in cages or in crates, we don't know. So it was probably somewhere between 5 and 8,000 years ago that they arrived. We're not 100% sure. We don't even know whether there was one introduction of dingoes or multiple introduction of dingoes. That's the next item on the agenda.
So it definitely hasn't been here as long as Indigenous Australians, that's for sure, who arrived around 50,000 years ago. This is much more recent. So some people have thought dingoes are the same as domestic dogs, which this explanation of coming over on a boat kind of is in line. But why is that?
Why did some people think that dingoes were the same as domestic dogs? Well, there was a paper that was actually published around 2001. So it's an older paper using some technology that was tremendous in 2001. But we live in 2022 and times have changed, and we were able to look a little bit more critically at the whole genome of the dingo rather than just the slice of the DNA that they were able to look at in 2001.
Okay, so with these genomes, how did you figure out that dingoes and domestic dogs have different genomes, and how are they different exactly?
So we used new what's called long-read DNA sequencing technology. So if you think about how quickly computers have changed in the last 5 years, DNA sequencing technology has changed about tenfold more than that in that same time. So it's really an avenue of current state-of-the-art technologies, very changing field, and we are lucky enough to be riding that wave and not playing in the puddles. So we use that new DNA sequencing technology to sequence the whole genome of a desert dingo that was caught in northeastern South Australia.
So up near Cameron Corner region. So what could this new discovery about dingoes mean for debates surrounding their role in the ecosystem and for conservation efforts?
Well, it's an important role that the dingoes play. They've been around, yes, not as long as some people think, but there's good evidence that the dingo has an important role in the ecosystem, and it's Australia's top order predator. So that really what that means is that it regulates the whole of the different trophic cascades in the ecosystem. So it's kind of a manager of the ecosystem. So if you mess up the top order predator, you mess up what's going on down in the whole cascade. So the classic example of that at the moment is in Yellowstone National Park, where they actually got rid of the wolves in Yellowstone National Park. And Yellowstone National Park went to a complete disequilibrium where waterways lost their tracks and beavers were unable to make dams. They reintroduced the wolves and the ecosystem was restored. So we're in a similar sort of situation, but we have one additional issue, and that is in Australia we have both feral dogs and dogs that some people call dingo-dog hybrids, because a dingo can mate with and produce fertile offspring with a domestic dog. And so it really seems likely that the dingo's role is very different from those two other sorts of dog mixtures.
Okay, and could we potentially be using dingoes for future pest control management?
That's a little bit further than I'd thought of, but that's an interesting idea. I think one avenue for this might actually be that we're exploring at the moment is that can we actually get pheromones from the dingoes to actually be used in slow-release formulations to actually exclude other dingoes and potential other wild dogs from certain areas.
Okay.
So a dingo trots up to a fence and says, "Holy moly, there's an alpha dingo in this area. I'm not going to go into that area because its territory is a real alpha group." And so they leave that area and move to a different area. So if we can develop that sort of technology as a slow-release formulation, maybe we could start to regulate where they go so that there's less overlap between humans and Australian animals.
Okay, and could we advocate for less farmers killing dingoes as pests on their property because it's good for the ecosystem?
Well, that's not something that I can do. That's a real broader discussion to have. Some people are advocating that on their own farms, and certainly it's not up to me, but I think we need to bring that to the table. We need to discuss it. Individual people have to make up their own mind, but I think these sorts of discussions need to be had and perhaps even go as high as the politicians getting involved, because it's really interesting to note that a dingo is differently defined in the different states of Australia. So how can we do that if we actually have complete heterogeneity in the way that we're referring to an animal and it's defined very differently in different places? That's just odd to me.
Yeah, it kind of seems like there might need to be a protection in place for dingoes to protect the ecosystem as a whole.
Certainly, we've got to get down, and I think we've got to get people around the table. We've got to get the discussions happening on what are the best ways forward, because it's absolutely true that dingo dog hybrids can be a real problem and that they can kill sheep. So it's actually not one person making this decision. I think everyone's got to get together and we've got to think about a way forward in an open forum and discuss it like regular human beings and not get over emotional, because it's very easy about something like this to get very emotional. And I fully understand that people's livelihoods are at stake, but we really need to think of all the different perspectives on this one.
Of course, thank you for that. That's very enlightening, and I think it's a conversation that needs to start happening, and hopefully we'll start seeing it happen quite soon. Thank you very much, Professor.